You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
So we are wrapping up our series on The Wall about the life and story of Nehemiah, a book in the Bible. And we've been going through some different things over the last few weeks. The first week we talked about how Nehemiah saw this problem and then prayed to God. God answered his request and he was able to go and rebuild the wall. And then the second week we looked at how Nehemiah brought all these people together in building this wall. And then last week we looked at how there were some obstacles, some opposition, some attacks, and how they kind of came together, trusted God, and God worked them through it. Next slide, please. Next. We good? We're good. Okay. So, my question for you is, how much have you been paying attention? Because my question for you right now, without looking at anything else, is what's the title of today's point? All right, a couple people said the wind. What color was that font? Blue? Okay, all right, good. How many of you knew that answer, both of those answers? All right, three or four of you. Okay, why don't we hit the house lights here? Actually, you know what, leave them off. Sorry, just changed my mind. Because a lot of times, if we're not intentional about remembering something, we don't remember it. You've been looking at that logo for at least 4 weeks in here on Sunday mornings as I teach. You've also been, it's actually been here for, at least a whole other month before that as we were prepping for this series. And so I want to do a little quiz and have you guys answer some questions just out loud and involving that logo. But unlike me just throwing them out to you, throwing out some questions, I want you to take 30 seconds and remember as much as you possibly can from this logo, and then, what happened to my 30-second timer? And then I'm going to ask you some questions. So you understand what we're doing here? I'm going to show you a picture here, a picture that you have seen for weeks, perhaps months, and then you have 30 seconds to look at it. And then after that, I'm going to ask you some questions. Get it? Say yes. All right, good. Go. 10 seconds left. And no screenshot pictures. Don't cheat. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, next slide. Okay, so without looking at anything else, we're just using our memory right now. So again, now everybody answer if you know the answer. What is the title of this week's point? The wind. Okay, what color is that font?
Blue.
Okay, good. All right, is the A in front or behind the stones? Front or behind. All right, how many of you think it's behind the stones? Like you can't see the A because it's behind stones. All right, how many of you think that it's not behind stones? All right, and how many of you are not answering because you're just indecisive? All right, well, and he raised hands. Oh, man. Okay, so we'll see the answer to that, and we'll go to the last slide in a second, so don't go any further, but just stay here. The A is actually not behind the stones. What about the W? Do you think the W is behind the stones? Or if you think it's behind the stones, raise your hand. All right, how many of you think it's not behind the stones? A couple of you, okay. All right. This is kind of blowing the point here, people, because none of you or some of you aren't even answering. This will work, because if you refuse to answer, then you won't be able to worship. There, I'll just drop that on you right now. See, now you feel guilty. All right, how about this? How many stones are not in a stack on the left side? Yell it out. What you got? 3, 4, 2, and 1. All right. We'll be able to look at this in a second. What color is the word Nehemiah? Okay, and how is it written? In the sand. Okay, all right, good. What about, is the series hashtag on the slide? Okay, what color is it? Okay, all right, good, all right. Some of these are really hard to see on that screen, I get to. So, is the MC3 logo on the slide? Where? All right, and what color is it? All right, yeah, it's black and orange logo color, because sometimes it actually changes to match the background, but this one is our standard black and orange and green. All right, good. How many large clouds are in front of the series title? Three. Very good, very good. Yeah, there's tiny little micro clouds there. And ready for this one? And this one probably can't answer this, but how many people are in the background? What? 51. Yes, 51. All right. There actually is one person in the very deep background of this picture. So if we could do like the, and you know, zoom in, we would see it. So here, show me that picture again. So the A is not behind any of the stones. The W is. There's actually only one stone here that's not in a stack. Yeah, all right, someone got that right. I don't know who that was. So there's three big clouds over there. And if you, I don't have my laser pointer, but right in the middle, I don't know if you can see, right in the middle, there's a little white rectangle. That's actually a person. You know what I'm saying. But here, let me ask you this question. If I, and if you don't answer this one, this is rhetorical, but had I not given you the time to intentionally look at that, do you think you could have answered those questions as well as you did? No, because when we're intentional about remembering things, we are. I mean, how many of you had to remember things for quizzes and tests and you remembered them? All right, how many of you still remember them? Yeah, you know, it all depends on different things there. But when we're intentional, we know what to look for. You didn't even know what to look for, but you knew that you had to be intentional about remembering. And as we wrap up this series today, I want to talk about this idea of remembering and remembering what God has done specifically, because that's what the end of the book of Nehemiah is about. We're covering today, we're going to be covering, what is it? How many chapters here? It's 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 7. Whoever said 7, good answer. I'm just in charge teaching. I don't know anything. So 7. But what we'll see in these chapters is that the people of Israel, when they were finished with the wall, they celebrated. And the point that I want you to get this week is when you've overcome the wall, celebrate what God has done. When you've overcome the wall, celebrate what God has done. And we've talked to, you know, different things over the last few weeks, certainly last week, about some of the opposition that they faced. The very first week with the big challenge that was in front of Nehemiah and the people coming together. And so here we've seen all these amazing things happen. And each time Nehemiah prayed, we saw prayer was a huge part of it. Nehemiah prayed. And so here we are at the end of this project. And in verse, we already actually looked at this verse a few weeks ago, it was a little spoiler then, but in chapter 6, verse 15, it says, "So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. So, 52 days they finished rebuilding this wall. Now, just to be clear, the book of Nehemiah did not begin 52 days earlier chronologically. There was a lot of time that passed, just even the journey from Persia back to Jerusalem was one that would have taken weeks. But once they began construction, it took 52 days to complete it. And then it says, when all our enemies, this is Nehemiah writing, when all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence. So remember, last week we looked at the different opposition and things, and basically once the wall was done, they're like, oh man. They lost their self-confidence. Why? Because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. It wasn't that they lost their self-confidence because they thought, wow, these guys are really good architects. They're really good builders. We should back off. No, it was because God was in this thing. And that was a huge deal. And so here we are. The project is done. The wall is complete. 52 days later, months of planning and prep and journey and travel and all these different things. And the wall is done. And so the people in the next five chapters, you'll see, in the next five chapters, then take some time to remember. Take some time to reflect back on what God has done. And we're going to have a chance to do this ourselves later this morning. But I think for us and for the people of Nehemiah, like there's going to be a party. You'll see that. There's going to be a party here. But they didn't jump right into the party. They took the time to say, what has God done? And for us, like we are so, how easy is it for us to forget what God has done? I mean, God has done incredible things in our lives. God has done incredible things in your lives. And some of them are incredible, amazing, miraculous. Wow, how could God ever, how could anybody ever do that? How did that come through? And other times, they're just little things. Like, last week, I used to swear a lot. Now I swear less. I mean, it's not really me. But like, that's a step. That's God changing us. That's the Holy Spirit, God working in us to make us more like Jesus. And sometimes we miss those little things too. So the point being, this idea of remembering allows for celebrating. And that's really where I want to take this, because, the idea of just celebrating when we see God's doing things is great. And that's a given. That's a foundation. But I think for us, sometimes that remembering, that reflecting part is a hard thing to do. So we're going to hit the house lights here so you can open. Well, if you want to open your paper Bibles, you have a light there. If you have the YouVersion app, you can tap on Nehemiah and then tap on, we're going to be starting in chapter 7. But I'm not reading the next 7 chapters of the book. You are certainly welcome to do that on your own. But we're going to do a little bit of summarizing here today just to kind of cover what's going on in these things. But we see that the people remembered to remember. And that's what I want us to kind of look at here. And actually, in your prime groups, we're going to cover some of this now. In prime groups this week, you're really going to have a chance to explore deeper into some of these different things and what that looks like for us today. But just some summary things here. First of all, they remembered some things. The first thing they remembered... The first thing they remembered was God's promises. God's promises. And so in chapter 7, about chapter 7, by the way, these are, there's some verses that are in some of the other chapters, but in general, chapter 7 is about the people remembering God's promises. And it says here in verses 4 to 5, it says, "Now the city was large and spacious, but there were few people in it. So they just finished building the walls." Remember, we said that not having city walls during that time would be like having a home that had no doors or windows. It was unprotected, so no one lived there. And so there weren't many people in the city. Well, now that the walls were built, it was time to bring people back in. And he said, "So my God put into my heart to assemble the nobles, the officials, and the common people for registration by families. I found the genealogical record of those who had been the first to return, and this is what I found written there." And so just hang right there for me. And so basically Nehemiah was like, okay, we're getting ready to go into this city, but where have we been? And so the rest of chapter 7 is basically just a record of all the people that had returned under Zerubbabel and Ezra. And if you remember the very first week or even during the Word series, there were 3 different groups of people that returned to the land after they were exiled in Babylon, when the king of Persia allowed them to return. The first group of people was led by Zerubbabel, and they rebuilt the temple. And then the second group of people was led by Ezra, and both Zerubbabel and Ezra, it's fun to say Zerubbabel, sounds like Barney Rubble. But anyway, Zerubbabel and Ezra are found in the book of Ezra, their stories. And then the third group was led by Nehemiah. So Nehemiah is in here, says, let's look back here at what was going on. And they found this record, because it wasn't like 10 minutes apart. We're talking about, months, years between these different groups of people returning to the land. And he just went through this list and reflected on all the different people that had returned to this land. So why is this a big deal? Because for them, God made promises to the people of Israel. And these promises have been around since Abraham back in Genesis. And he said, look, follow me, obey me, and it will go well with you. I will give you this promised land. And eventually Joshua into the land, but Moses led the people to the promised land where they had this land that God had promised them. But God said, look, people, you're my people, but if you disobey me, it's not going to be good. And if you continue to disobey me, I'm going to remove you from this land so that you can kind of get a reset and kind of check yourself. And then he actually says after 70 years, which it literally was 70 years, I'm going to return you to this land because you're still my people. And so for us, that was a quick summary of Israel's history. But for the Israelite people, the people that were here with Nehemiah, they knew they knew this story. They knew that God said, if we disobey, He's going to eventually get tired of it and remove us from the land. And that was what the Word 3 series was all about. You can go back to mc3church.org and listen to that. As they went through all these different kings, and eventually the kings had no love for God. And He said, that's it. You're going to be exiled to the land. It's a punishment. You're going to be sent to this land of Babylon. But I have not forgotten you. And 70 years later, you'll get to come back to the land. And so here's Nehemiah. The wall is done. And he says, let's look back. And they start reading through this record of all the people that had come back to the land. And you know what those people represented? They represented God keeping His promise. That He said it, and He did it. And I think when you consider them and you consider us, like, God is not... God is not a promise keeper. God is a person that keeps His promise. He's a God that does keep His promises. He doesn't fail. And even though we might not see it, even though we might not recognize it, it doesn't mean that He isn't keeping His promises. And it's so cool here that you've got this thing. And again, if you wanted to read through chapter 7 and read the list of all the families, you certainly can. And to us, it's kind of like, wow, there's a bunch of names. But to Nehemiah and the people, this was a giant record of God keeping His promises. Because He said, I'm going to exile you, but you will come back to the land. I will return you to that land. And so that's what Nehemiah 7 was all about. As they reflected back on, like, yes, God does keep His promises. And I think for us, it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget that God keeps His promises. It's easy to forget the promises that God has come through on for us. Because in the moment, we're in the moment. And we don't think about all the other stuff. We forget 10 minutes ago. I mean, right? You get into a fight with your spouse. Like, I don't know what your relationship is like. But, like, we can be all lovey and then I say something like an idiot. Something stupid. And, like, it does not take, like, hey, let's build up to this process and have a fight. No, it's instant. Because I'm an idiot. And, you know, how can we go from that to that? Because that's the way it is. How many of you ever answered the phone when you're in the middle of a fight or you're mad or something like that? You're like, why? Hello? I mean, because, you know, that's the way we're. We don't even remember that short moment ago. And here we are, we serve a God that loves us and keeps His promises. And sometimes we need to just go, wait, let's remember how God has kept His promises to us. Let's remember how God has come through for us. So that's what they did here in chapter 7, is that they remembered God's promises. Then the second thing, if you excuse me, I'm fighting a cold here. The second thing is that they remembered God's word. In chapter 8, they actually go to Ezra, who is the priest there, and they say, hey, Ezra, why don't you bring out the law, the book of God? Because these people had been exiled into a foreign land. They hadn't really even been following God's law. They hadn't really taken time. And in Ezra, when you read the book of Ezra, you'll see that the people didn't even know most of these things. After 70 years, they had forgotten what God had done, what all the instructions that God had given. And so here it says, Nehemiah, this is kind of the second time, he brings Ezra and says, look, we're in this city. And before we get comfortable, before we celebrate, before we're like, yeah, things are good, let's just reflect on God's word. Let's remember God's law to us. And so to the people, this is what happened. And on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly. And by the way, when they say the law, that for our context, that would be the word of God. This would be the first five books of what we have in the Bible, including some of the prophets. And so there were some more things added to it. But basically, it was the known Bible that they had at the time. And they brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. So everybody was there. And he read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men. Women and others who could understand, in front of the men, women and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. And so here, Nehemiah, before the party starts, says, let's remember God's word. Let's remember God's law, God's commands, God's instructions. And so they read through it, and it says in the passage here that they actually wept bitterly. They wept and nay-nayed. They wept bitterly because they're like, wow, for all these years, we haven't been following God's word. For all these years, we didn't even remember and we forgot about these things that God had said and these promises that he had made and these different things, these instructions and these rules. And so Nehemiah, as a great leader, says, look, before we start the party, let's take a moment and remember God's word and reflect on that. And so they just spent time reading through it. And I'm not reading 5 chapters of Nehemiah for you, 7 chapters of Nehemiah right now, but they read the entire Old Testament for hours, for, 6 hours maybe. And they all just stood there and listened as the word of the law, as the God's word was read to them. And for us, I mean, that's the same thing too. Like, God's word is full. It's perfect. It's wonderful. It's full of truth and advice. That's kind of a shallow way to say it, but it works. And if we obey what God has written, if we obey God's commands, God's instructions, and understand who Jesus is, like, this thing that we are living today is not going to be perfect and easy because it's full of sin and it's messed up. But we'll get to see God working through us. We'll get to see what God is doing. We'll get to understand how this works. And, wow, I guess I had this problem here. Oh, if I had known this, I could have obeyed and done this differently. And that's why God's word matters. That's God's instruction to us. It's God's plan, God's idea. And so for you, I mean, when you reflect back on what God is doing, when you get upset, when you get into a hard time, do you remember God's word? Do you remember what he has done for you, what he has written for you? Because a lot of times we're like, eh. And let's be honest. I mean, when this is sin. This is sin at work in us so aggressively. But, when we start kind of drifting away from God, and, or doing something that's not appropriate or whatever, then we probably stop reading his word even more. Like, at the time where we need to be like, okay, let me get back into it, is the time we go even further away. And so Nehemiah was like, look, before the party, let's remember God's word. Let's remember what he has written. And some of you need to remember God's word. Some of you need to go and say, wow, I haven't read the Bible. I hear it on Sunday morning, but that's the extent of it. And I am not God's word to you. God's word is God's word to you. 66 books of the Bible. And don't even, people, it is 2018. Don't even say, well, I just don't have a copy. I just don't have a version that I understand. Shut up. Download YouVersion. You have it everywhere. And it's in any translation you want. So don't even, like, when I was a youth pastor, like, that was a legit thing. Like, okay, well, let's see if we can buy one. Wow, you go to the bookstore, like $15, $30. And you get the leather-bound ones, and they're like $70. No, no more excuses. And if you don't have a smartphone or a device where you can download that, okay, fair enough. I don't think any of you fit that category. I could be wrong, but I don't think you do. But maybe you do. But the point is, we need to be spending time remembering God's word. So they remembered God's word. The third thing is that they remembered God's history. And here, I'm going to pull this apart a little bit here. But when we talk about God's history, they reflected back on what God has done for them as a people. And so in Nehemiah chapter 9, you actually have this long prayer where the people, again, it's squiggly line, tilde, mostly Nehemiah 9. Where there's this long prayer where the people were basically praying through, the leaders were praying through all that God did. And starting with, you led us out of the wilderness. You made a promise to our great, 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 great grandfather Abraham. And you said, if we obey you, we will follow you. And they kind of go through this prayer of all that God has done. I mean, it's like a good summary of the Old Testament, of all the stories of what God did. And how God said, if we don't obey, we're going to be exiled out of the land. And sure enough, we didn't obey. And our grandparents, our great-grandparents were sent out of the land, and they didn't obey. And then you said you would bring us back, and here we are. And as they're getting to the end of this prayer, verse 33 is so cool. It said, in all that has happened to us, and they're talking about us as a people. Again, we're not talking about them individually. This is their ancestors and their family tree and their heritage and the whole story before them. In all that happened to us as a people, you have remained righteous. You have acted faithfully while we acted wickedly. And sometimes we need to just reflect on God's history to us, to on how He has worked throughout His Word, how He has worked for us as a family or as a history. I mean, what's your heritage? What's your story? How has God brought things together? And what does that look like? And a lot of times we look back and we're like, wow. I mean, I was just saying this, I think this was in Prime Group the other night. We didn't cancel for snow. One of the things that a couple of weeks ago, Kendra and I ran into an old friend of ours, and we started talking about church. He's a pastor in Lancaster, and we were talking about church and just started to tell him the story about MC3 and how it all started. And I loved it when I run into people and I have those conversations, not because I can boast about MC3 or anything like that, but for me, it's so good to remember, like, yeah, right, we did start in a garage, right, we did have a lot of stuff, right, Justin did gag when he was pulling out the sink that we had to pull out of the mechanic's bathroom. I mean, like, all these different things about how God has worked, and here we are today, and it is warm in here. My parents are coming next week to spend some time with us during Easter, and I remember the first time they came, like, we didn't have heaters, we didn't have anything, I was wearing a hat, and they don't want people to know this, but they gave us money to buy heaters because they're like, this is stupid. Buy some heaters. So there, I didn't post that online now. You can't hear. I just said something. If you're listening online, I said something secret, and you're not going to hear it because you weren't here. Okay, but like you reflect back, like, wow, really? I came across a picture of Carla teaching an ignition when every one of those kids that just left. Now, they were younger. There were different kids then. They were all in one room. That's all we had. We had one room, bay three downstairs. And they had to lead that entire time of all the kids in one room. And, like, we just... he's like, I saw the picture and just got stressed. It's like, I'm like, no, change it. Like, it's... whoa. And now, you know, God has provided. We've got three bays upstairs. We've got multiple teachers. We can rotate the kids through the rooms so they can learn the same thing that you're learning right now. And just all these different things. And when we remember the history, we're like, wow, God is faithful. But in the moment, we're usually like, wow, I don't know. God, where are you? Well, God has been where He's been the whole time. We just forgot. And so the people, Nehemiah had them remember God's history. And remember what He has done for them as a people and how He has been faithful all the way through. And sometimes we need to do that. We need to take those moments. Be like, just get out of the moment. Get out of the situation and just say, how has God been faithful? Because He has. And we need to reflect on God's, on the history of what He has done. And the next thing they did is they remembered God's honor. And what I'm talking about here is that actually in Nehemiah 10-ish, They came together and said, wow, as much as they reflect back on God's history and His promises and His word, they're like, God is worthy of our commitment. God is worthy. He is an honorable person. He is one we want to submit to. We want to follow. We want to love. We want to obey. And so they made a commitment together. They made an oath and said, look, as a people, we have neglected God's word. It's been 70 years since we were in this land. It's time to make things right. And so together, they kind of raise their right hand and repeat after me. That's my right hand. Raise my right hand and repeat after me. And so we're going to commit to this. And so they have this great moment of commitment as a people. And we're saying we're going to follow and obey God. And that's what we see in verse 28, 29. It says, then the rest of the people joined their leaders and bound themselves with an oath. They swore a curse on themselves, which is kind of what they did back then. I don't have time to get into that. That if they failed to obey the law of God, as issued by the servant Moses, they solemnly promised to carefully follow all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord, our Lord. And so the people were like, okay, wow, look what God has done. And when we take that moment to reflect, we're like, God is worthy. God is honorable. God is amazing. And we want to commit to following Him. And spoiler, that's very noble. That's very incredible. And it's important for us to say, yes, I want to follow Jesus and I want to recommit. And dude, every day, if you're human, every day is a recommitment to Jesus. Because we mess up. We sin. We fall short. We fail. And every day is a recommitment, but these people made a recommitment. And the spoiler is, the book of Nehemiah kind of ends on a really bad note because everybody forgot their commitments. We'll get to that in a little bit, but that's the beauty of God's grace too. Like here we have this example of these people remembering what God has done. They made this great commitment and then they failed to stick with it. And throughout the history of the Old Testament, people failed to follow God completely and they failed to be perfect. And so Jesus said, all right, enough. I will be the perfect sacrifice. I will make you complete. I will make you what you can't do on your own. And so we're going to talk about that next month as we do this burn series. I'm really excited about it as we look at what hell is and why it matters. But that's a little ahead of myself. So the people recommitted themselves. They committed, they remembered God's honor in about, you know, chapter 10-ish. And then in chapters 11 through 12-ish, they remembered God's accomplishment. And here is something that is a little bit different than God's history and God's promise. And these all run together. It's not like, oh, I'm clearly talking about God's promises now. Like, we can remember God and remember what God has done for us. So if you want to keep that as a big summary statement, but I'm kind of breaking it down here. But what was really crazy about chapter 11 and 12 is that they remembered what God had done for them in that moment. And what it was, chapters 11 and 12 is a list of all the people now that went and actually settled in Jerusalem. And it was just a family list of the people that settled in Jerusalem. And that was a big deal because when we opened this book of Nehemiah 4 weeks ago, the walls were broken down. There weren't people there. It was an unsafe place. It caused Nehemiah to weep bitterly and to the point where, you know, his job was to make sure that the king doesn't get poisoned. So every day he is trying not to get dead. And he manages to do that in a way that when he's upset about the wall, the king's like, oh, you look sad today. Like, again, we talked about this the first week. Like, I would probably look sad every day because I might die. Because I'm going to drink your wine and I'm going to die. But here's a moment where he actually looks sad because of how distraught he was over the walls. And here we are, a few, you know, maybe a year this whole process took. Definitely 52 days of building the wall. And people are moving into the city because God had accomplished this thing. And what I want us to understand here as you consider this is that now it was pretty exciting, it was pretty powerful, and it was miraculous in the sense that God was at work here. But understand, okay, there was nothing here where the people were standing back and like using the force and bringing the blocks into place and they, you know, waved their magic wands and the wall, like there wasn't anything. No, people picked up blocks and put them in place and they worked together. And they had to hold a weapon while they were doing it. And the walls came together. So it was a very unusual, but yet normal thing. The wall was built. And so they celebrated God's accomplishment. And I think for us, it's easy to kind of miss the everyday. And I already said this, you know, to miss the everyday things, to miss the normal, to miss the little things that God has done. And be like, well, but God didn't raise him from the dead. No, but last time somebody got angry at you, you might have yelled back, but this time you didn't. Celebrate what God is doing. Celebrate those accomplishments. Celebrate those normal things. And all the little things around us that we sometimes are like, no, we're so busy looking for the big, grand, incredible, amazing thing, which God does. And we have stories of that in our lives, but we miss celebrating that, you know, this was another step. That I am one step closer to being like Jesus. That I've changed just a little bit more. And that's what's going on here in chapters 11 and 12. This is a celebration of just, we got this wall built. Look what God has done. Look at the list of people that are now moving into this city because we were able to finish the wall. And so you've got these first five chapters, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 6. Six chapters. I do not have a degree in math, okay, of how they remembered what God has done. And so in chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now the leaders of the people settled in Jerusalem. The rest of the people cast lots to bring one out of every 10 of them to live in Jerusalem, the holy city, while the remaining 9 were to stay in their towns. And so that's what the beginning of chapter 11 through 12 is, just this record of the people that ended up living in the city and coming back and how great of an honor that was. The chapter goes on to say that these people are there and God, look at this, God has done this. The wall is done. We're moving in now. Celebrate the little moments. Celebrate remembering God's accomplishment. And so that's what they did. They remembered to remember. So before we get to the party, before we get to the celebration, the people, Nehemiah brought them together and remembered God's promises. What he said he would do, he did. And remember God's word, his word, his instruction, his Bible to the people, his word to them. God's history, what God had done for them throughout generations and generations and generations. And I mean, you're here because of generations before you. And it might not be someone you're directly related to, but there are people that God has used to shape the story that brought you to the moment where you are right now. And the crazy thing about it, and you can read throughout this in the Bible, they might not have been someone that even followed Jesus or went to church. But God might have used that to get you here somehow through some bad experience or whatever. And then God's honor, remembering that God is worthy of following. Like, he is good. God is so good. And next week, I mean, we're celebrating that Jesus rose from the dead. He died for us. Like, that's good. Nobody dies for anybody else on purpose. Sometimes, maybe. But certainly not for someone we don't even care about, we don't even love. And that's what Jesus said. I mean, we'll talk about that next week. And then finally, they celebrated God's accomplishment. They celebrated the normal. They celebrated the everyday. So they celebrated. And here's what we see in the rest of chapter 12, this great celebration, this time for the party. It said that the wall of Jerusalem was dedicated to God. For that occasion, the Levites were gathered together from where they lived. They were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate that happy occasion. They celebrated the fact that the wall was being set apart to God. It was being dedicated to him. They did it by singing and giving their thanks to him. They celebrated by playing music on cymbals, harps, and lyres. The singers were also brought together. Some of them came in from the area around Jerusalem. So they all came together for this big party. Everyone came to Jerusalem. Even if they weren't living there, they came to Jerusalem to celebrate this party. And it goes on in a few verses later. It says, Nehemiah said, I had the leaders of Judah go up on top of the wall. So they're on top of the wall. I assigned two large choirs to give thanks. One was to proceed on top of the wall to the right toward the dung gate. We all remember the dung gate. And we talked about that. We had that map from the very first, or the second week, I guess, when they were building the wall. So one of them went on the top and went to the right. So they went, is that clockwise? Clockwise, to the right? Yeah, clockwise. They went to the clockwise. And yeah. And then the second choir, the second choir go up top, and they went in the opposite directions. They went counterclockwise. And he followed them on top of the wall and together with half of the people. So there's these choirs walking around the wall, singing. The instruments are being played. And he goes on and says, the two choirs that gave thanks then took their places in the house of God. So they ended the party at the temple, the house of God, that Ezra, or that Zerubbabel had built, and the first group of people that came back. The temple was inside the city walls. It was rebuilt. They settled there. They ended the party at the temple. So did I, together with half of the officials as well as the priests, and it went along to basically everybody's at the temple. We're all gathering together at this place for the final party. And it said, on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. And so the party, now it was time. God had done all these things. They remembered what God had done. And then they celebrated what God had done. Nowhere in here do they say, yeah, look how good we are. Hey, Nehemiah, well done. You're doing it. You did a great job, Nehemiah. We want to thank you. Here's the key to the city because you brought us all together. No, they celebrated what God did. And they didn't say, hey, perfume maker, thank you for giving up making things smell good to build the wall here. No, they celebrated what God had done. And all of this was about what God did. And so that's kind of the point. That when we reflect on who God is, then we celebrate. When we see what God has done, then we celebrate what he has done. But as I said, they also failed. So I'd love to leave this chapter out, but I can't because it's there. And it's in the Bible. And in Nehemiah 13, so Nehemiah, as I've alluded to a few times, it's basically Nehemiah writing sort of his memoirs of the occasion. It's sort of his description of everything. He's writing it in first person. Here's what I did. Here's what happened. And we saw 2 weeks ago that Nehemiah was actually eventually appointed governor of this newly rebuilt Jerusalem. And some say he was there for probably 10 to 12 years as governor. And it said that beginning in chapter 13, verse 1, that things were getting bad. That actually Tobiah, if you remember last week, Tobiah and Sanballat were the two guys that were causing all sorts of problems. Nehemiah is gone. He goes back after his time of governorship is over, goes back to spend some time with the king. And they say he was probably gone for about 2 years. And during this time that Tobiah, one of the priests gave Tobiah a room in the temple, which is completely against the rules, even for a priest to have a room in the temple. But Tobiah, the enemy, was given a room because he was related to a guy who knew a guy. And that's basically what happened. And Nehemiah, so these people are like, whoa, wait a second. We made this commitment to God, and now right away, one of the direct enemies of building the wall now has a room in the temple. And so he goes on there in verse 6 to 7, he said, "But while all this was going on, I was not in Jerusalem. For in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had returned to the king. Sometime later, I asked for permission and came back to Jerusalem. Here I learned about the evil thing." So he's gone for a couple of years, and just in a couple of years, they turned their back on God. And there are a bunch of things that happened in chapter 13. We're not going to read all of them. Again, Tobiah was given a room in the temple. The people stopped giving. They had committed to giving part of their offering, their sacrifices to the Levites and to the temple. And it said they were selling on the Sabbath, that they were doing all sorts of business on the day that God said to rest for the people of Israel. And then it also said they intermarried with the pagan nations around them. And basically married into the people that were not following God. And God specifically said not to do that. So just in 2 years, after all that God has done, after this amazing party, after a 52-day wall being rebuilt, Nehemiah is gone for just 2 years or so, and it all falls apart. And if you read through the Old Testament, if you read through the history, which, by the way, Nehemiah, now chapter 13, ends, watch with me here, ends the historical record of the events in the Old Testament. Nehemiah is not the last book in the Old Testament, but Esther actually is after Nehemiah, and then there's the prophets and the Psalms and Proverbs and all that. But those all take place during the historical events that happen from Genesis through Nehemiah. So this is the end of, essentially the end of the New Testament, or sorry, the Old Testament, in terms of historical things. And again, the prophets are in there, and we talked about this in the Word 3 series. But basically, the next thing that happens historically, chronologically, is in the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. The next thing is Jesus at the end of this, because there was a time where the people continued to fall away from God, and during that time, the Pharisees became leaders, and they were completely all about following the rules and not caring about actually loving God. And the Sadducees rose to power. And all these different things happened. But just so you know, here we are, Nehemiah 13. We've just ended the history of the Old Testament. Are you following me on that? That this was Genesis through Nehemiah, or through Esther. But chronologically, Nehemiah is the end of the history. And then everything after that happens during one of these books. So the next time the pages of history open, it's Jesus. So they fell apart. Everything fell. It just didn't work. Because we can't do it on our own, but that's, I don't know, that's for next week. Let's talk about that then. So the point being, when you've overcome the wall, celebrate what God has done. God, celebrate what God has done. And I think we know how to celebrate. I think we know how to worship. I think we understand some of that. But I think the problem is remembering what God has done to get us to that point. I think that's the challenge for us. And if we're not intentional about remembering, we don't. When you knew there was going to be a quiz, you studied the picture. And I'm going to suggest to you that we need to be intentional about remembering what God has done. Because if we just kind of let it happen, it won't happen. So we have this amnesia problem. We forget. We get into the moment and we forget. And so I want to answer this amnesia problem and just suggest three things. And then we're gonna actually end by singing together and worshiping at the end of the morning today. The first thing we need to do is remove the focus from you. We are in such a world, such a culture, that everything is about us. It's about us feeling good, being happy. If we're not happy, if we don't like it, we write a review and let people know about it. We post negative comments about someone else if we're not happy. If you have an issue, it's, you know, look deep within and see what you can do. No, it's not about you. This story, this world thing, I'm sorry, but you're not the star. I'm not the star. Jesus is the star. And if you want to follow that more, we did a whole series called Superstar about the fact that God is the one who is the star of the show. We're just the extras. We're just the side characters. And if we're going to truly reflect and remember what God has done, we need to stop looking at ourselves. We need to get off of ourselves and remember that He is the star. Remove the focus from us. James says it this way. He says, why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Like, you, well, I'm going to live to a ripe old age of 85 or 92 or 103. You know what? In comparison to world history, that's still comparison to our eternity, it's nothing. He says, your life is just a mist. It's like that fog that appears in the morning, and once the sun comes up, it's gone. That's what our life is. He says, instead of being worried about it, instead you ought to say, if this is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. And this is in the context of a greater argument saying, you know, let's stop trying to live for today and see what God wants us to do. But he says, just remember, your life is nothing. Sorry. You matter. You have value. Your Creator died for you. That's pretty significant. But in terms of the scope of things, you're just a mist that appears and vanishes. But what does the Bible say about God? Well, in Psalm 100, it says, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. That's a lot longer than... His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Why? Because He's the star. We can't. If we're going to truly remember and worship God for what He has done, we need to stop looking at ourselves. We need to get off of ourselves. And whatever that looks like, I'm not saying we need to be some kind of reclusive, like, personal, self-deprecation or anything negative like that. I'm just saying we're not the star. God is. And so we need to make sure that we're not putting ourselves, we're not coming in. And if we're going to worship, saying, I want to have a good experience worshiping God. Wow, you just said I. It's not about you or your experience. It's about God and His glory. So we need to remove the focus from ourselves. It can't be about us. That's just step one. Then we can go from there. So removing the focus from you. The second thing, then, as we've been saying all morning, is remember God's faithfulness. Remember God's faithfulness. If you want to worship, if you want your worship not to just be like, hey, I like the beat, or that song's exciting, remember God's faithfulness. All of a sudden, your worship is going to be totally different because it's not going to be about you and it's not going to be about the music. It's not going to be about anything. And we have an amazingly talented group of individuals up here leading worship, but they're not the star, and they will admit that right away. It's about reflecting you to Jesus. And we remember God's faithfulness. And in Nehemiah chapter 9, in one of these passages, it's actually a popular, if you will, verse outside of the book of Nehemiah. It's during this time where they're reflecting. They said, our ancestors were proud and stubborn, and they paid no attention to your commands. It says they refused to obey and did not remember the miracles you had done for them. Instead, they became stubborn and appointed a leader to take them back to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God full of forgiveness, gracious and merciful, slow to become angry, and rich in unfailing love. You did not abandon them. And this is as they're praying through their history. And actually, this is referring to the time when Moses is on the top of Mount Sinai, getting the Ten Commandments from God. God speaking directly to him. Meanwhile, at the bottom of the mountain, they're like, where's that Moses guy? I don't know. Let's make a calf and worship that instead. And if you have any, even outside of church, Ten Commandments, but Charlton Heston, you might know that story. And that's what they're talking about. Like, they right away, they had just seen the 10 plagues. They had watched the Passover. They had walked through the Red Sea. But just a few months later, and they're like, oh, we're done. Let's make a calf and worship that instead. Because they failed to remember. And we need to remember God's faithfulness. We need to remember what He has done. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes this book, We did a series called Life Stinks a number of years ago about the book of Ecclesiastes. And Solomon was the wisest person to ever live and the richest person to ever live, except for Jesus in terms of wisdom. And he wrote this book kind of reflecting back on his life. And one of the things he says in chapter 12, verse 1 is, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. He's not just saying, while you're a teenager, remember Jesus. He's saying, remember him. Be intentional. Because when you get into the moments of trouble, when you get into the hard times, you're going to forget. So be intentional about remembering God's faithfulness. So we need to remember God's faithfulness, the second part of this. Now, each of you should have at this point received one of those books that you got when you came in. One of these little notebooks. Here's the problem with remembering God's faithfulness. We forget. A lot of times the reason we don't remember something is because we forget it. And so we got a bunch of these little notebooks so that each family can have a way to write down what God has done. It's small. You can keep it in your purse, your wallet. You can keep it on your table in your house. And as a family, if God did something big or small, write it down. Write it down and then you have a reminder. When you get to those moments of like, wow, this is really hard. This is really tough. You can look back. One of the things I would encourage you, my grandparents used to do this. They had a jar on their fridge. And anytime God came through, they'd write a little note and put it on the jar, in the jar. And then on New Year's Day, every year, New Year's Eve, they would get out the jar and go through all the notes, all the things of how God had come through for them over the past year. So remembering requires us to remember. And so this book is a way to do that. It's a tool. You can use something digital. You can use Evernote or, you know, iNote or some other notebook on your app, whatever. But if we're intentional about remembering, we remember. And so one of the things you'll see here, if you open to the very first page, if you can kind of share it with your family, open to the very first page there, you will see this statement, and it's up on the screen here, I think. Next slide. Is it? Yes. It says, I was up against the wall, but then God, dot, dot, dot. And so I want you, in these next few minutes, does anybody still need one for their family, one per household, so your whole family can share this? Grandparents? Okay, we got one over here. All right. And I didn't give you any pens, sorry. But I want you to think about this sentence. I was up against the wall, but then God. Because the focus is about God and what he did. And maybe this was something like, you know, last week, I was up against the wall, but then God provided this answer for me. Maybe it was last year. Maybe it was 10 years ago. But reflect back and say, how was God faithful to you? What did God do? That's the beginning of just the different ways that the people of Israel remembered. But for you, I was up against the wall, but then God. What did God do? And I want you to think about that now, because in a few minutes, we're going to have a time during this last song for you to yell the answer out. To yell out and just celebrate what God has done. So be thinking about that. What is something that God has done? And it's not long. You're going to have like just, but then God provided for me. But then God healed me. But then God gave me this job. Then God brought my marriage back together. Then God, you know, made me stop swearing as much. And we're real. We're not judging here. We're about what God is doing. And if we're looking at you saying, what? That's what you were? Then it's not about you. It's about not about God then. So think about that question, because in a few minutes you have a chance to shout those out as a way of celebrating what God has done. And then keep the book. And as a family, write down and keep track of it. What has God done? And then you can get to these moments where we're like, yeah, look what God has done. Look at his faithfulness. Look how he has come through. Look at how he's kept his promises. Look at the way that he has done that. And again, that could be big things. That could be little things. So, removing the focus, remembering God's faithfulness, and finally, revel. Celebrate in what God has done. In 2 Chronicles, this is a really cool story. The ark was stolen from the people of Israel. The Philistines stole the ark in battle. And David was the king at the time. And they finally were able to get the ark back. Actually, the Philistines gave it back because things kept happening bad to them. They're like, okay, fine, you can have God's ark back. And if you don't know what that means, it's not Noah's ark, it's a different thing. But the point being, it was finally back. And it says, on that day, David gave to Asaph and the fellow Levites this song of thanksgiving to the Lord. They had a party because the ark had been returned. And he says, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. It wasn't about them. It was about God and celebrating that. Sing to Him. Yes, sing His praises. Tell everyone about His wonderful deeds. Exult in His holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search for the Lord and for His strength. Continually seek Him. Remember the wonders He has performed, His miracles, and the rulings He has given. He said, celebrate. Revel in what God has done. In the New Testament, James says it this way. He says, every good and perfect gift is from above. Every good and perfect gift is from above. You get that? Every grace, every wonderful thing we get to experience, the fact that the stinking sun is out, that's from God. And it's not snowing. And if you love snow, then you can celebrate that it snowed on Wednesday. Yay. But that every good and perfect, if it is good and perfect, it is from God. And we can celebrate that. We can revel in that. He says, coming down from the Father of lights, heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And so when it comes to remembering God's faithfulness, here we are at the end of this book, at the end of the wall being done. They remembered before the party. They remembered everything they had done. And then they worshiped. And then they celebrated. And for us, we need to do some things too. We need to remove the focus from ourselves. If this is about you, you've missed it. And then we need to remember God's faithfulness. And then we need to revel and celebrate when what God has done. When you've overcome the wall, celebrate what God has done. The band's going to come up. And right now. And now the band will come up. And they're going to lead us in one more song here. And like I said, I'd love for you guys to finish that sentence. There's going to be a spot in the middle. I'll come back up here. And I will give you a chance to just shout out what God has done. And please, we're not looking for you to give a 30-second, even that long talk. Just a statement. I was up against the wall, but then God, and you just yell, provided this for me, came through in this way, helped me grow in this thing. So we're going to do that. Let me pray for us, and then I'll have you guys stand, and we'll hit the house lights, and then worship. God, thank you so much for the book of Nehemiah, and thank you that over these last 4 weeks, we can look at how every time he went to you, and every time you came through, and that God, you are a God that keeps promises. You are a faithful God. You are good forever and ever and ever. Your love continues forever. Your faithfulness through all generations. And so whether we realize it or not, sometimes we get caught up in the moment. We get caught up in our circumstances and we forget the fact that you are a God worthy of our worship. You are a God who has been faithful. And so I pray that even something simple as this notebook would be a way for us, much like the people of Israel did in Nehemiah's time, to look back and remember what you have done. So that our worship can be all the richer, all the more real, authentic, because we're not just singing a song. Because we're worshiping the God of the universe that has been so faithful to us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.